This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, I'm thinking back to when we were in high school, and I remember hearing about things then, and I guess it was just kind of becoming a matter of conversation back then. When did you first hear of the idea of a purity ring?
It was a long time after that. It was after we had children.
Was it really?
I remember reading something about it in a Folks on the Family magazine, but really it wasn't much of an issue in our lives. We had all boys.
True.
And I didn't read a lot of the things, I guess, that promoted that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't seriously come to my attention until just recently.
Mm.
Yeah, I knew some people did it, but yeah.
Well, I remember
let's talk about what the point is, because some people may not even know what that is.
Okay. Well, the point of this is something that parents, particularly with daughters, although I have heard of people doing things with their sons too, but it seems to be mainly parents with their daughters that when they reach a certain age in their early teens, will take them out for dinner or you know, some kind of ceremonial type of event, and they'll give their daughter a ring. They'll give her daughter a ring that's meant to symbolize that they are keeping themselves pure for marriage, that they're keeping their heart and you know, not giving their heart to every guy that smiles at them. But, you know, the focus is let's hold all of that romantic stuff until a time that it's appropriate for you to be considering marriage and considering becoming a spouse. And so, you know, the basic concept, I think, is not a bad concept.
No.
You know, the idea particularly of you know, taking a young teenager when all, you know, all the world is saying, if you don't have a steady boyfriend, you're a loser. If you don't have a date by the time you're 12, then you're going to be an old maid. And you know, some of the same kind of pressures go with the guys, but I think this particular little thing is something that has taken root more with the girl's side of that equation. The idea of almost as if the daughter is being invited to say, hey, I want you to give me your heart, daughter, and I will protect your heart, and we will protect your heart together. And then when the right young man comes along, then I will relinquish my protection and basically give you to his protection. Am I giving that a fair?
I think that's what most people say. Mm-hmm. And I think we can debate, whether that's the best way to go about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know lots of good people who have done that. We haven't, mainly because we had six boys in a row.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't much on our radars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've taught our boys to be honorable and to avoid sexual sin, definitely.
Well, and see,
but the whole thing of using a ring was not really an issue for us.
And, you know, I think that was the first time I heard about it. It was really kind of in that context to say we're going to hold off sexual activity until marriage.
Right.
You know, that this is a ring to remind you, hey, don't go that route until you are married and you have the other kind of ring on your finger. And so the idea that, you know, that's where the purity comes in. But I think in recent years, it's kind of morphed over into something bigger that involves not just your sexual purity, but your whole emotional makeup and relational makeup and everything else. And that's kind of what brought it to our attention, I guess, in the past year or two, that maybe there's something we need to discuss and think about.
Well, you know, we discussed it on our blog recently, and people brought up some pretty interesting points.
Mm-hmm.
One person said, you know, that this whole idea that I've got to be worthy, I've got to be pure and remain pure. And she said, what about the people that have fallen and come to Christ later? You know, is it too late for them?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had to say no, because, you know, God has said what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean.
Right.
And so we have to be careful not to, you know, make it seem like if you've ever made a mistake that you can't be right with God over this issue.
or that somehow you're damaged goods and not worthy of anyone's attention at this point.
Right, because you know, I don't think there's a person living who hasn't sinned sexually in their hearts. And God says that the heart is what matters.
Yeah, I don't know how, I think it's almost impossible to avoid in this culture. You know, we are living in a Corinthian society here. There's just sexuality blatantly on display all about us. And every invitation the world can put out there to say, hey, you know, you need to jump on this bandwagon. You are missing it if you don't. And so I think that it's almost impossible for a young man or a young woman who's got their eyes open to avoid getting pulled into at least the fringes of some of these things.
Right.
So, I think you're right that we need to recognize that very important thing. And I'm trying to think where we heard the story, but it was one where a pastor's son was about to marry a young woman who had a really rocky past, but she had been gloriously saved, totally redeemed, made clean as a child of God, as you know, one of Christ's own. And the church was scandalized because they said, don't you know what she used to be? And they had a big church blow up over it. And the thing which really nailed it was when the people that were supporting this couple said, the question here is not about this woman's morality. The question is, does Christ really save? Does Christ really purify us?
Amen.
From the sins that have been forgiven and covered by his blood?
Amen.
That's what do we believe that or not? And, you know, that sort of settled matters. People had to say, you know, we've been saying all of this. Now we have to apply it.
We have to live it.
You have to live it out.
What brought Purity Rings to our attention, folks, is I don't remember when it was. It was a while back. We were speaking at a conference, and a group of homeschoolers were having a big debate about a blog post we had written where we said, you know, we don't really have a problem with adult Christians in their 20s having coffee together. And
shock and horror.
Well, people were flipping out over it, Hal.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, one woman in particular was very adamant. And I was thinking, what in the world? And then I noticed that she had a ring on her left hand. And I thought, oh, well, maybe she went through a very strict courtship process and to get married. And that was why she thinks that was so important. And I said, mm-hmm. Oh, you're married then. And she said, no, I'm not married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really puzzled. You know, I looked at her and I said, but you're wearing a ring.
Right.
And she said, well, that's my purity ring.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I was a little puzzled because it was on her left hand. It looked like some kind of wedding or engagement ring to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that I thought she should move it to her other hand.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of shocked and horrified.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that brought it to our attention and brought it to mind, because it's not so much that this ring thing is being done. Okay, like I said, you can make a case for it. I can see how it could be used as an instructional thing or as a reminder. And yet, if you're wearing it on the ring finger of the left hand, it can be easily mistaken for something that it is not.
I think girls think
mm-hmm.
that guys are a lot more observant and have a lot more of a clue than they do.
I am convinced that girls think that guys have a clue. And I am totally comfortable with the concept as a guy that no, we do not have a clue. We surely do not. We cannot read minds. We do not pick up emotions. And we don't recognize the difference between a plain metallic gold-colored band that says, I am married and you need to address me as Mrs., or I am not married, and you can ask my father if you'd like to talk with me, because this is just a purity ring. We don't recognize the difference. They got a band on there. Okay, look somewhere else. That is really, you know, I think you're right. I think girls are thinking, guys are thinking, and guys aren't. Okay? Is that fair?
I think that's pretty fair, at least in this area.
Okay.
Guys think about a lot of things, and guys are awesome.
Okay.
But in this area, I think most guys are clueless. And what got me is this young lady we talked to said, I said, well, you know, if a guy sees it, he's going to think you're taken. He's not even going to want to talk to you. She said, well, I don't want him to talk to me. I want him to talk to my father. And it's like she couldn't comprehend that if he thinks she's taken, he's not going to talk to her father.
Yeah, why would he talk to the... Say, I see that your daughter's already married, but I'd like to meet her and get to know her and maybe court her myself.
That's
is that okay, Dad? No.
He's going to look at it.
Yeah, that's precisely the thing, which, you know, in that sense, you kind of think, do the young women have a clue?
No.
Well, okay.
In this area, young women don't have, when it comes to guys, young women don't have a clue. You know, what really got me, Hale,
yeah,
is that we had the same conversation like 3 times in a week.
Yeah, it was like, okay, now you focus your attention on this, children. We are going to discuss this topic. And yeah, I remember that week. It was weird. It was kind of almost uncanny. And it was like in different states.
It was. And so it wasn't just one area's weird culture, but it was in different states. The second thing that really, really got to me is that every one of these young women said the same thing. They said, well, I don't want to take it off, or I don't want to change it to the other ring.
Mm-hmm. To put it on the other hand. And
to the other hand.
Because they felt like they were betraying something?
Well, that seemed to be part of it. But part of it was, and this is the part that really just got all over my nerves.
Yeah.
Is they said, well, if somebody hits on me at work or at Walmart, then I can just hold up my hand and he'll leave me alone.
Although, you know, to be quite frank, that's kind of misrepresenting something, isn't it?
Well, it is.
But, okay, but leave that for what
leave
it is.
Leave that where it is.
So but it was, she what, saw what, it as kind of as a shield.
As a against protection.
Unwanted
now,
attention.
Maybe the parents out there are going, yay, but see, there's a problem here. Because if the Ford pushy guys at work or Walmart are turning away because they think she's taken, what on earth makes them think that a nice, decent Christian guy won't do the same thing? I don't get this. I do not understand this at all.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is wolf repellent. Will it not also keep the nice ones away? I think so. I have to think it really would. It's part of a larger cultural issue, I think, that I think we need to talk about this on a separate program, but the edginess about young men and young women forming friendships, not romances, but just being friends and actually spending time with each other and getting to know one another without being in a formal defined relationship. You know, I think because sometimes we get really nervous about that sort of thing. How is a young man supposed to have learned that, oh, my friend Becky, that's a made-up name, okay, don't attach it to anybody, but, you know, my friend Becky wears this ring, and it looks like a wedding ring, but I know because she's my friend, and I know all about her, and she's shared this with me, it's not really a wedding ring, it's a purity ring. I know that, okay? Well, fine, but how do you get to be friends enough to know this if you don't become friends somehow anyway? And, as you say, you know, a guy meets a girl at a conference or at church or some fellowship and looks around and she's wearing what appears to be a wedding band. You think, okay, let me find the next one.
Well, you know, I think that girls don't realize how seriously guys take that kind of thing. Because I've noticed with my guys that if they might be otherwise interested in a friend, if she's in a relationship, they won't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, let her know you're interested. She might be more interested in you than the guy she's in a relationship with, but they won't touch it.
Well, that's part of the decent guy code.
Okay.
You don't want to be a snake.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to go messing up somebody else's relationship just to kind of test the waters for yourself.
All right.
So that's part of the honorable guy code.
Okay, I don't understand that, but anyway.
Well, I think it's a good thing. But at the same time...
Well, not if she's not really taken. If she's married, sure.
Well, but she's wearing a wedding ring, right? So she's obviously taken.
This is so confusing.
Well, you see how this goes round and round.
Yeah, it really does.
And I think that the problem that comes from all of this is that we do need our young men and our young women getting to know one another. You know, we're not sitting down and looking at family trees and saying, oh, this makes a good alliance. Why don't we wed these two when they come of age? And we've just agreed to this 12 years ago, and this is what's going to happen. We don't do that
well,
in our society.
Well, some people would like to do that, but I think it's because they didn't grow up in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a little break, Hal.
Okay.
And after we talk about our sponsor, let's talk about the parents' reaction to the conversations we had.
I think that'd be great. You know, we want to tell you about our sponsor, schoolhouseteachers.com. We talk about them, and there's so many things available out there for you to adopt into your homeschooling. One of the things which I think is really neat about it is they have some really well-recognized teachers as part of this whole thing. Like, for example,
Patrick Nury of Northwest Treasures, friend of ours, is teaching about geology.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Johnson, her Knowledge Quest maps are amazing. Her products are amazing. She's teaching about geography.
You know, there's also, they have some modules by Diane Waring talking about relational homeschooling. We can all use that.
Oh, and Amy Potts is teaching about history. I mean, these are really great people. I saw George Escobar, who's a really well-known filmmaker, is teaching about filmmaking.
Awesome.
There are so many things out here, and it's all included. And it's not like you have to pay separately for each class like most things. It's all included.
And you know, that's pretty neat, because how often would you get an opportunity to go to somebody who is a published author, who's a recognized teacher in a subject, and sit there and study in your homeschooling environment? You know, that's
seriously
the kind of thing you go off to a university to do. But here's
right.
This is a way that you can hear it straight from these authors and these teachers. And you know, what a great opportunity. And you know what? Nice thing about schoolhouseteachers.com is for the same low price, you can like put all of your students into it.
Right.
There's no extra charge if you have additional students in your family. It's just one low family charge. And so we really want to encourage you, come out and check out schoolhouseteachers.com.
Absolutely. Let's go do it. It's worth it. You'll enjoy it. Okay.
All right, so we're talking about purity rings. We're talking about girls who wear these purity rings because their intentions are good.
Yeah, it's a good thing to say, I want to stay away from sexual sin. I want to save sex for marriage because, you know, God created sex. It's a very good thing in the context of marriage alone.
Right, and so to say, okay, I'm wearing this ring to remind me that I need to guard my heart and guard my steps and don't get drawn into things or don't pursue things that I shouldn't before the time.
No problem with that.
That's great. We're all in favor. But when you're wearing a ring on your left hand that looks like an engagement ring or a wedding band and you're not married and you're not engaged, but this is just your purity ring, and yet somehow you think that guys know this. You think that guys have figured it out and they'll know that, oh, well, all I need to do is go ask her father, and that really, this is the way that we, you know, can actually form a friendship and start considering a relationship, etc. You know, we just don't think really and truly that most guys have a clue of what you're doing. And that really this ring on that hand is a sign to stay away. I'm in a relationship.
And really we say if it looks like, but to a guy, any ring on that finger is going to look like an engagement or wedding ring because, you know, we have 20-somethings, and we've been talking recently about rings with one of ours, and the kind of engagement ring that people are looking at these days doesn't look like an engagement ring to me.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, that's right.
It's very different. It's unique. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty, but the styles are changing.
People are using all kinds of different styles now.
And so, like we said, we had this conversation, like, 3 times in the course of a week or less than a month anyway, in different states altogether, in totally different groups, no connection other than the fact we're all believers. And you're thinking, what's going on here? And so I remember the one that you had, I think, well, won't say which state it was in, but anyway, in a particular state, you had a conversation and it was in the hearing of the fathers. And when you raised that question, won't the decent, Christ-honoring guys look at that and think that you're taken and turn away just like the wolves do?
The father immediately responded, put it on the other hand.
Yeah.
And in fact, each of those 3 conversations, the father responded the same way. Yeah. Immediately said, put it on the other hand.
Or take it off.
Or take it off.
I remember hearing one of them just immediately, he didn't have to think twice. It was like, whoa, light bulb. Okay,
yeah, it's
take
like
the ring off.
As soon as he realized how... thought of it as a single guy looking at his 20-something single daughter, he realized, oh my word, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And but the girls were very hesitant to take it off. It's like one of them said, but I promised you. And the parents had to reassure her, yes, you promised me that you would stay that you would stay pure, that you would avoid sexual sin, where you wear the ring or how you wear it or if you wear it doesn't affect that promise. It's like, I'm still married if I take my wedding band off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, a promise is a promise.
Well, okay. And that sort of attaches to another thing that we, growing up in a, you know, wanting to live in a God honoring way, sometimes we have little ways that we train ourselves to avoid temptation, to turn away from temptation. And the time comes when it's not temptation. It's the proper channel that God's created. And you have to say, hey, look, it's time to take off the blinders. It's time to allow your mind to go to these places because this is what God created it for. This is the right time and the right place and the right person. You know, it's like, I remember a discussion we had with one young person who said, you know, my parents told me when I was 12 or 13, you don't need to be looking around for a mate. And then he said, when I get to be 22, 23, I'm finding it hard to step back from that and say, well, now it is time.
You know, I think we need to give our kids the full message. Mm-hmm. You know, because we say, you know, don't look around. When you say, don't look around yet. And when we
not
say,
now. Yes.
And when we say, be pure, we need to make it clear. You know what? One of our sons had a conversation on Facebook about this recently, and I think in response to our article. And one young lady said, well, but see, once I get married, I won't be pure anymore. Whoa.
Wrong answer.
She was very upset. She believed that that somehow that although married sexuality was okay, it was impure. That is wrong. The Word of God says, you know, that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled.
Yeah. You know, the thing we have to keep in mind is keeping everything lined up according to God's directions.
Yes.
And it's not a matter of, you know, that the unmarried young girl who has through, with God's help, has maintained her sexual purity is somehow a better woman than a mother of three. You know, it's just not. And yet there are, you know, these cultic things sometimes.
See, we have to be really, really careful not to give our children a false message, mm-hmm. not to give them part of the message and not give them the whole message. When we say, you know, we need to say sexual activity is not impure. Sexual activity outside marriage is impure.
Right.
One poor young lady told me that her parents made such a big deal about her purity mm-hmm. and, you know, how sexuality was so bad that when she got married, they were unable to consummate their marriage for a matter of months.
Because her conscience was eating her.
Her conscience was eating her up. And that's a false conscience. That's not the Holy Spirit.
That is a false conscience.
In fact, it's sinful not to engage in sexuality when you're married.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God says that we should yep. not withhold that from one another.
Right. And that's in 1 Corinthians. And that's, that's totally true. And so that, again, that's one of those things that we need to be really careful that we don't. Somebody said, we made an idol out of this. Well,
yes.
Maybe not quite to that point, and yet it becomes a habit of thought that you have to stop and say, you know what, that was good to protect myself, to protect my thinking, my thought life and my heart and all the rest of that at that time. But now it is time to change channels. Now is the time to, in this case, you know, the relationship issue, now is the time to pursue or to be pursued, whatever's appropriate there.
Right.
And not to look at the opposite sex with fear
right.
or suspicion or hesitation, but to say it's right and proper to form relationships, to form friendships, to seek to know one another better so that we can evaluate this question.
Well, you know, there is nothing wrong with being clearly single. There's nothing wrong with being available for a godly relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want the young ladies or the young men to feel a burden that, you know, somehow they're not allowed to be friendly with one another, to express that they're available, because don't we all want grandchildren here?
I think we do.
We've got to not so burden the next generation that we make it impossible for them to find mates.
Right. And so that's really our major hesitation about the purity ring as what it becomes in some people's mind. and what the message that they're sending without intending it.
Yes, because, you know, I don't want my young men looking at a girl, seeing a ring on her left hand, and seeing if they can find out if she's really available. Because maybe she's married, but she is available because she's an adulteress.
Ooh.
That would be horrible.
Well, that's an awkward thought.
You know, instead, we need to recognize that in our culture, a ring on the left hand in someone of marriageable age means taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those purity rings need to be moved to the right hand. You know, one young lady on our Facebook page said, I think it was a mother.
Yes.
Said, I wouldn't want my child to marry someone who didn't know what a purity ring was. Well, you know, my guys know what a purity ring is, but they don't know what it looks like. They've never had worn one.
Yeah,
we have six guys in a row.
They don't have sisters that are of an age that would even have one yet.
Yeah.
If we were going to do that. And
so you're going to cut off all the godly guys who haven't heard of this small part of possible Christian culture?
Well, that's...
What about the guys who grew up in another country?
You know,
they don't do that thing.
Yeah, again, that's another thing that we've encountered sometimes, that we parents sometimes will build these structures. They're very pharisaical, actually.
Yeah.
You start with a good idea, and we're going to put a fence around it to keep you from getting close to some tripwire, and you end up creating an unnecessary burden, an unnecessary qualification. I heard somebody told us at one event that her father had said that no man shall get to know my daughters and will court my daughters until he knows biblical Greek and Hebrew. Hello? Are you serious?
Sounds
honestly?
Like the end of his line.
Wow.
It's going to, you
know. Okay.
I don't see that in
chapter
the
and verse
God.
On that,
yeah,
please. Yeah.
Chapter and verse.
So, okay. So here we are. It's one of those things. This whole thing with the ring thing, I don't think it's a harmful thing.
No.
I don't think it's an evil thing. It's just a thing, but it can be easily and is often is being misused and misunderstood,
yeah.
Not reflected on.
Because we can do all manner of things within Christian liberty to help us to remember to follow God's law.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that it actually accomplishes what we want it to and doesn't stand in the way. And if you've got a 20-something daughter and her hands on her left, her rings on her left hand, there may be a reason guys aren't coming up and talking to her.
Hmm. Okay. Well, look, I think we need to have some more discussion about this because, after all, the whole dating relationship thing is a hot topic for 20-somethings.
Yeah.
And for parents with teenagers. And we've talked about that some on our blog. We've talked about it some. But if you are interested in some things that kind of give you a biblical balance, we think, on the whole relationship issue, I encourage you to come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com. We have an hour-long workshop called Dating, Courtship, and All That, which we have gotten some very good positive feedback for as we've talked about it at conferences.
Yes.
We've got a whole world of resources out there, but we want to encourage you. Yeah, come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com. And
if you are interested in having us speak at your church or support group, go out to halandmelanie.com.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our speaker stuff out there. Contact us because we're making a couple of long trips through the Southeast and Southwest in the next couple of months, and
yeah.
We would love to stop and speak in your area or stop and visit with you, and so please contact us. Go out there, take a look at it. We'd love to get to know you better.
Yes, and you know what? If you like this kind of content, you know, it's out here free. We're here to minister to people's needs, to answer questions, to encourage folks to live more biblically and more intentionally and with more grace in their lives. You know, there's one way that this is supported, and that is through the use of Patreon.com. Patreon.com is a way that you can become a patron, you can become a sponsor, an ongoing supporter of this broadcast and our blog and so many other ways that we reach out. So we want to encourage you, please come on out to Patreon.com, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie. Okay, well, it looks like we're about out of time, so we want to just encourage you, come back and join us every Monday night. Go dig through the archives. We've got all kinds of topics out here. And if you've got anything you'd like us to talk about, you can contact us through our website, raisingrealmen.com. Let us know what your ideas are.
See you then.
All right. Thanks. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
Bye, y'all. You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AlanMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.